Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to this, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, and I am coming to you in a week where England have gone undefeated in three consecutive tests, Australia get battered by the Scots, Wales lose to New Zealand again, and Sale Sharks get that all-important home win. But do you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about none of it, because this episode is going to be purely dedicated to our trip to the World Rugby Awards, which we sort of covered last time, but maybe not in the greatest depth. So, to help me break it all down the line, is Tim Cocker. Hello, Timothy.
Hello, JB, from the Egg Chasers TMO shipping container.
Now, first things first, mate, we've got no Phil because he seems to be making up for the fact he didn't go drinking with us on Saturday by going drinking on his own in town tonight. So there is no Phil. We did track him down after an hour's worth of calling and phoning his wife. Turns out he's in town getting hammered. So there we go.
Drinking on his own, that sounds like a cry for help.
Well, that might not be exactly true, but we'll go with it, hey?
I like that. That's how disappointed he was. That's what I think pushed him over the edge. He was disappointed he couldn't come to Nice and Monaco with us.
Exactly.
And then listening back and hearing us chatting to Beauden Barrett. Well,
no one's listened to us chat to Beauden Barrett yet, mate.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that podcast, but I can only apologise. But he heard us chatting to Richie McCaw and Eddie Jones.
Yeah.
And he saw on our Facebook page that we chatted to Beauden Barrett, amongst others, and that just pushed him over the edge. And ever since, he's been on a one-man binge in Manchester City Centre.
Now, I don't want to put out the wrong idea to listeners. So I did listen back to the podcast that we put out because somebody mentioned that we sounded a bit drunk. Now, this is the God's honest truth now, and you'll back me up on this, Tim. Up until after the interviews, what, we had maybe one Heineken?
This is absolutely true.
This is I just think we were so tired by the end of it.
It is possibly, I mean, someone who knows alcohol poisoning and stuff will know how long alcohol stays in your system, because it was a big night the night before. But I completely agree. I will back up what JB says. There was no drinking involved on the day of the World Rugby Awards.
Well, I mean, no, not on the day. I mean, we had maybe two bottles of Heineken, maybe max, during our interviews and during the podcast. But do you know what? It was just such a long day. And also, I think this sounds so childish. I was so excited going in, I was almost burnt out by the time that I'd finished.
Well, yeah, also because we decided we save ourselves about 80 quid by getting a train to Monaco rather than a taxi.
Yeah, it's true.
And but that meant about a 3-mile walk around the winding F1 streets of Monaco.
Yeah, sat-nav doesn't work too well, does it, when you're overlaid by 5 or 6 tunnels?
So, it's an engineering feat, isn't it, Monaco?
Yeah, well, I've said this before. It's a thing that rich people do. Rich people live on the side of hills just to show off that they're rich enough to build there. No, well, no other reason you'd do it.
It's an interesting place. The hotel was opulent and amazing and an interesting setting for the World Rugby Awards. Fantastic night. And so, yeah, we on the last podcast, we just played you a little flavour of some of the chats that we had, but we thought we'd get into it a little bit more here.
Absolutely. So actually, do you know what? Let's not keep anyone waiting any longer. Here is our chat, which never made it to the main podcast, well, the first podcast, with Beauden Barrett. Shall we start there?
Let's start with the World Player of the Year.
There we go.
Beauden, congratulations on your award. Not a bad place to start. A little bit of downtime, is it, Monaco?
Yeah, exactly. I wish we were here for longer. Unfortunately, Well, fortunately, I'm going to Tokyo for an EDS commercial, so it's a beautiful city. It's great that we were able to come here this year. Hopefully we can do it again and maybe make it a week-long trip.
Well, so when you're the work in Tokyo with Adidas is done, you must have some downtime plan. What are you doing?
Yeah, we have, I think, 8 weeks before we return back to camp. I just, when I get home, I play golf, catch up with friends and family, work on my tan, I love swimming and love the beach.
How's your handicap?
It struggles this time of the year because I need to play, you know, every second week or regularly to get it down. So it's a six at the moment.
That's annoyingly good, isn't it? Annoyingly good.
Oh, it's good enough to appreciate the good, beautiful courses we play when we travel the world. So,
Bowden, I'm a proud Englishman, England fan. And next year can't come soon enough for the World 1-2 showdown. Is that something you're excited about as well?
Oh, of course. You know, the way England are playing at the moment, it's great to see. The style of footy they're playing, it's awesome. So, yeah, it's a long way to wait. But, yeah, it's an opportunity for us to get better as a team as well before then.
Well, I know time's very, very short. So I know that one thing, there's, you know, you talk about World Cups, Lions Series, Super Rugby titles, World Player of the Year, whatever. We'd just like to offer you the coveted Egg Chasers title.
Club tie. So, that's what you really wanted. That's what you really wanted.
Appreciate it.
Bowden, thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, guys.
Well done on your award. And enjoy
thank
Tokyo.
You. Without telling you, now we're mortal.
Yeah, we'll do.
Top man.
That is Bowden Barrett. What a nice man.
Well, he was a lovely guy, big golf enthusiast, very well media trained. He almost said, unfortunately, I've got to go and do an Adidas advert. I mean, fortunately, I've got to go to Tokyo and do an Adidas advert.
I love the golf trip. I don't know what the media training is all about, but it's about being as enthusiastic as you can for as long as possible. So I love golf, which is great because I can play all the lovely courses in the world, which are so lovely. Yeah, it's good.
And, I mean, we gave away the spoiler. People didn't hear the interview, but they heard us saying, hey, Bowden Barrett, he got himself an Egg Chaser's tie. So that's not going to be a surprise to anyone that listened to the podcast on Monday morning.
He actually put that tie in his pocket. I thought he was going to scrumple it up and put it into a wood chipper immediately.
Or just hand it to a minion.
Get
rid of that.
And then sanitise his hands.
He's at least polite. Right, I'll tell you what, this tells you everything about the rugby people. Bowden Barrett, at the very least, waited till we were out of sight before he threw it in a wood chipper.
Exactly, and sanitised his hands.
Yeah. But what a good guy.
Yeah, and a well-deserved winner, it must be said.
It should be said. Just while we sort of talk about these award winners and stuff, did you see the Sports Personality of the Year nominations?
I've seen your tweet about them. I don't take any notice of the Sports Personality of the Year nominations because it's so right on and it's so not about sport, it doesn't interest me. I only like rugby. I only like the sport side of it. I have no time for laces. I have no time for anything like that. All I care about is sport. So Sports Personality to me does not tick any boxes.
Shall I just remind you were at the World Rugby Awards at the weekend?
Oh, yeah. No. So the World Rugby Awards are about rugby, yeah?
I see.
The sports personality is like, this, I don't know. It's not about sport. I think we can all agree on that.
Well, I'd say that a lot of the people that have been nominated would be there on merit. How many Tour de France championships has Chris Froome now got? And Anthony Joshua won the World Heavyweight Championship. And there's other very, very worthy potential winners.
Yeah.
And the footballer that got nominated just scored more goals than anyone else in the Premier League this year. That's the only accolade he has.
I hate to ruin this for you. Doesn't he not have some sort of goal-scoring record for England? I'm sure he's got something.
No, that was Wayne Rooney broke the England goal-scoring record.
I'm sure Harry Kane's like got the most goals. Do you know what? I don't care. I don't care, and I refuse to talk about it on this.
Well, okay, well, I'm just going to mention it. The point is, he may have scored the most goals in the Premier League,
yep.
But he hasn't, and he was nominated for the World Player of the Year award, but he hasn't won a European title, he hasn't won a Six Nations Championship, and he hasn't been part of an England team which has won all but one game. in the last 2 years, which can be said for Maro Itoje, Maka Vunipola and Owen Farrell. So I was very disappointed for the populist Harry Kane getting on the nominations list and no rugby union player, although Marcus Smith is on there as the young personality of the year.
Yeah, which is bizarre. You're right there, actually. Sean O'Loughlin, I think, should be on the list, and I think Owen Farrell, out of those two rugby union players, should be on the list. And do you know what? What about Jonathan Davis? I mean, if Lee Hall...
Jonathan Davis is a great shout. I didn't even mention the Lions tour, obviously, when I was talking about those accolades. Jonathan Davis, yeah. He'd be a good shout. Although, he won a domestic title, didn't he? He'll probably get Welsh Sports Personality of the Year, something like that.
Big deal. What? Between some rugby players and a snooker player or something? Who cares? Oh, no, actually, the Welsh... I'm not talking about it. Right, there we go.
I almost wound you into it then.
Yeah, you did. Well
done. Come on then.
Right, okay, enough. We're going to move on from Welsh football and snooker. I think we should get on to another one of our interviews. We've done the men's player of the year, and I think we should go into women's player of the year. And also, one of the most engaging people that we met, actually.
I would agree with you on that.
So, this is Paul... Oh, just before we go into this, Portia... Portia Woodman, who won Women's Player of the Year, isn't only a 15s genius, also amazing at sevens. So her season is literally 12 months a year.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
So here we go. This is Portia Woodman.
Portia, congratulations on your award. I'll tell you what, pop that on the table so we can see it.
Here we go.
Beautiful. What does that mean to you?
I think it's just the icing on the cake. You know, our team has been performing really well this year. Even though we lost to England in our June series, we came back in the World Cup and we're like, yeah, we're going to bring it this time around. So without my team, I wouldn't be receiving this award.
Now, we're just chatting, unlike the men's team, you can't put your feet up.
No, not at all. So 15s is finished. Now, tomorrow we're here to Dubai for the start of the World 7 series.
So how many physios and masseurs are you taking around with you to stay fit? That's what a workload.
Yeah, you know, we have the choice. We can choose whether we want to just play sevens, just play 15s, or play both of them. And I've chosen to play both because both games transfer into each other. I've learned a lot playing 15s. That helps me with sevens and vice versa. So there's no way I would have just stopped after sevens.
Now, you often hear weird little bits of information about people, and mm-hmm. I've just heard this one about you now.
Yeah.
Tell me about the rock which you keep in your boots.
Oh, yes. So when I first made the team, my parents gave me a hangi rock. So a hangi is, I don't know if you know much about it, but
nothing.
Māori, we dig a hole in the ground, stick some food in it with hot rocks on top, and that cooks our food. And so my parents gave me a little piece of the rocks that we used to cook our food with, to give to me, to put in my rock, into my boot, or just travel around the world with me, just so that I have a bit of New Zealand, bit of Aotearoa with me whenever I travel around the world.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story. Has it ever caused you a slight injury as you're gassing in for a try?
No, lucky enough, in the bottom of my boot there's like a little cubby hole that perfectly fits my rock, so I'm lucky enough that it just sits in there.
Have you become, now that you're world player of the year, do you have enough clout to actually get the bootmakers to have a special compartment?
Adidas, if you're listening, that'd be really great.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about this event then. Must just be mind-blowing to be in a room and just strolling around and...
Yeah.
What do you get? Because I wouldn't be able to stop myself from getting the odd selfie here and there. Have you,
mate? I'm going to fangirl totally tonight. You know,
who are you most fangirling?
I think still Dan Carter. You know, he is the man. He's still a babe. You know, he is so hot. There's Richie McCaw, Victor Vito, all those players. He's just out there, and I'm not going to be shy and hide away from it. I'm going to be taking selfies for sure tonight.
Good. And the women's game has had a pretty amazing year, but with this year ahead, with a Sevens World Cup and everything thrown into the mix, it could be a huge year ahead.
Yeah, like we have the World Cup, we have the Com Games, we have the World Series, and then also the Olympics in 2020. So, yeah, it's going to be an incredible ride. My parents are already going to the Com Games, whether I am or not, so no pressure to me. But, you know, like it's going to be an awesome ride. You know, and these girls, we have such an awesome development group coming through that they're pushing for our positions. You know, no one is ever safe. So I think that's the best thing for our culture.
Well, with that on your mantelpiece, you're, maybe on paper at least, you're safe for the time being.
On paper, we'll say
congratulations on your reward. Enjoy your evening. We need to let you go so you can go fangirl Dan Carter.
Thank you. Yeah, totally.
Thank you. Portia.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There we are, mate. We've only interviewed men's player of the year and women's player of the year. That's not too bad, is it?
Portia Woodman is an absolutely incredible athlete. It's only since the World Rugby Awards, in my total ignorance, that I've done a little bit of research on this person. Again, because you mentioned she was very, very engaging. She is an absolutely incredible athlete.
Yeah. Do you know what, as well? I think she's the perfect ambassador for the game because of her media presence as well. Now, it shouldn't all be about, you know, media presence, because otherwise, of course, James Haskell would be World Player of the Year 5 times running. But she is genuinely the best player in the world, and she actually gets you enthusiastic and engaged with the game. So, top work all round.
Yeah. Do you know who I found very engaging and interesting? I'd like to put my hand up and say, can we hear from the Sevens Player of the Year, Perry Baker? You mentioned Portia Woodman is amazing at Sevens as well.
Yep.
Perry Baker, talk about big characters. He is the kind of game, he's the kind of character that you can pin an entire world game on. And certainly for the continent of North America, or that, this is a guy that can have a massive part to play in a huge year ahead for Sevens rugby.
Completely agreed. The Mexicans are well into him. So here we go. shall we just play Perry Baker?
Play Perry Baker.
There we go. We're in the presence of Perry Baker. How are you doing, Perry?
Well, wait.
The best dressed man in World Rugby Awards, Perry Baker. Get it right.
Therefore, the best dressed man in World Rugby. Are you happy with that accolade?
Sure. I mean, I hope I held up to the bar for Mike Friday. He told me to go and dress like him.
Yeah. Strong. It's strong look.
I think you better dress than Mike Friday.
All right. I'll take that.
Are you ready? I mean, it's been an amazing year, 2017, but are you ready for the year ahead? Because this is going to be something else.
Definitely. I mean, a goal for ours was always break into the top four. And that's all we talked about, but now we're talking about winning shiny things. We need cups, you know, so the guys are excited. I mean, we're ready to play. The preseason's been really long. We're over playing against each other. We want to just get out there and play. I mean, when you get to play rugby, you have fun. I mean, so, yeah, I'm ready for it.
And then, of course, July next year, extra special. I mean, a Sevens World Cup's a big moment anyway, but at home.
Oh, it'll be amazing. I mean, we get to play in our country just one time out of the year, but get to do it a second time. It's amazing. I mean, we have players who grew up there in the Bay Area, so have their family and friends there. I mean, it'd be good to take away a shiny thing there.
Yeah, it's going to be something else.
How are you finding the perception of rugby in America, and how is it starting to grow? How is that manifesting itself?
You have more of the youth playing it now instead of just having men's club. It's starting in the youth, and that's what we needed. Once we get it in high schools, I feel like the sky's the limit for it. I mean, for the simple fact, like, after high school, you can go to college. And you have all the sports you want in college, but you don't have those coming out of high school. So if you get them in the high school, it definitely helped change the game for rugby in the States.
With the pure athletes that America has, I'm terrified that the States takes it seriously. Yeah, I think we're done for.
Take it easy, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that. I mean, rugby is a different type of game. I mean, it's everyone's like the quarterback, how I like to look at it, because you have to be thinking and know everything that's going on, versus in football, it's just one personal quarterback and know everything that's going on.
Now, you've got a football background yourself, yeah?
Yes.
What sort of athletes do you think transition better into rugby? Because I'm not always convinced that there is the football guys that are probably most suited to it.
I would say it'd be basketball players or wrestlers.
Wrestlers, yes.
And I say wrestlers for the simple fact of with the breakdown of the game. And I'll say basketball because you have five people on this tight court, and they're all tall, you know? So your space is limited. So if you think about 15, you don't have space like that. And versus sevens, once you do have space, though, and then once someone learn how to take away your space, how do you get out of it? So that, I feel like that goes hand in hand with basketball, because you're in this small area and you got just a lot of one-on-ones and trying to beat your opponent, you know? So I feel like wrestlers and basketball players be great.
Is that same rugby culture that we love, is that coming through in the States? Is that what's attracting people to it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the dressing up on Saturdays and stuff and Sundays, you know? Like, the fans love it. I haven't talked to a fan that doesn't love rugby. For the first time they've ever seen it, they in love instantly. I mean, it's just how close it is. It's a family all the way around, you know? Like, from the fans. Like, we have fans that travel with us, that live in the state, that travel with us to every tournament. How crazy is that? The same, I see a fan that's from England that travels everywhere, all the time, every tournament, and that's what it's about, you know, just sticking together and just being a family, just being one big camaraderie, just being close.
Amen. Amen to that. Now, and but this year for you particularly is just going to be crazy. Are you ready to see a 100-foot big poster on the side of a building of you?
it's pretty cool to see that. It'd be a great experience, but I'm all about playing and winning. But just to have that, that'd be great, though, just because that's something that we can share as a whole, from coaches and my teammates and family and friends.
Well, you got one bit of silverware here, and Perry Baker, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Top man.
Thanks, Perry. There we go. Now, I don't know if in that clip we did his outfit justice. It was black tie. He was in Prince of Wales check with a matching bow tie. That's quite something.
Sharp character. And I just want to mention at this point that, because we mentioned it there, the World Cup, the Sevens World Cup is going to be in San Francisco in July.
Mm.
Tickets for that event, and it's a 3-day World Cup event.
Okay.
Tickets are on sale as of this week, and the early sales are going really, really well. So if you want to get out there to San Francisco, and I highly recommend you do, we're looking like we're going to be hopefully going over there. Might even be putting on some events out there as well. Which will be an all-comers kind of vibe. Come along and watch the game, and then come and kind of we'll sort of
have
start
a drink
the party
or something.
Afterwards.
Or
yeah, sorry. Yeah,
basically, if you find us, we're either going to be podcasting or drinking responsibly.
But the format is going to be absolutely brutal. It's basically a straight knockout, pretty much.
Yeah, I've heard they have changed it a little bit, because usually it's coinciding tournaments, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, interesting.
But not this time. But tickets are now on sale and should be absolutely incredible. So it's in July. It's in San Francisco for 3 days. If you are interested in going, San Francisco is an amazing city anyway. But what's really cool about it is you can be on the mountain Lake Tahoe skiing, and then you can be in the city San Francisco, and then you can go to the beach. So if you're thinking of a family holiday, tying in the Rugby World Cup Sevens could be a little bit of a shout for summer 2018. So
yeah.
Get online and get involved.
I'm trying to work out how I'm going to do this, because I believe going to San Francisco for 3 days, for me, might be a little bit of a stretch too far. You know, there's only so much you can pretend to your other half that what we do down here is really work when you've gone to Madrid and Monaco and San Francisco and Chicago and New York twice. And Romania. So I think I'm actually going to offer the holiday, right, and then stay there 3 days afterwards.
I think that's a very shrewd move, and that's kind of what my thinking is, just in general, for fellas who want to kind of incorporate the few days of partying, but get it past the missus.
Yeah,
I think I might try something very similar.
Yeah, I can't imagine our listeners are going to be quite have the understanding wives that we have, but still, and I'm also glad the listeners get to butt in on that. On our travel plans, you know, our pre-production meetings.
Yeah, exactly. But I did the West Coast of California earlier this year, and it is just I would go back tomorrow. It is that stretch between San Francisco and Los Angeles. Oh my goodness me, it's amazing. So and Yosemite and all the rest of it. So anyway, I just wanted to flag that up. I'm not trying to be a little tourist board here on the Egg Chasers podcast, but
sounds
just
like
wanted to let people know tickets are on sale now.
Excellent. Just before we go on to the next bit, what did you think of the actual event itself, as in the size of it? Because I was shocked.
Well, the fact it was at the Monte Carlo Bay Casino Hotel or and Casino or whatever it was.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that World Rugby or any awards ceremony was that size outside of, I don't know, the football, what is it, Ballon d'Or or whatever that is, or the Oscars.
Ballon d'Or, yeah.
Yeah, Ballon d'Or, whatever it is. It was absolutely immense in its scale.
It really was. Now, you got quite an early flight back to the UK, so I'm imagining that there weren't many big names at the airport when you went back to the airport.
Wrong. So do you want to know my my story?
Yeah, go on.
So I get to the airport, and I'm kind of reading my book, the Tom English. There's a lot of plugs today. Tom English book, The Grudge. I recommend anyone get it who's into rugby. It's an amazing rugby book. And I look up, and who would be there? But one Ronan O'Gara. I was like, oh, Ronan O'Gara. So I plucked up the courage, went over to him, said, hello, Ronan, big fan. Obviously, he's a
very affable chap, isn't he?
Well, he wasn't this morning because he was a little hungover. But his wife was absolutely lovely. So I said hello, tried to get him on the rugby dungeon. That happened. And we went our separate ways. Then I sat down on the plane. And who would be sitting next to me? Ronan O'Gara.
Not Rog.
Yeah. But because I'm such a nice guy, his wife was sitting like three or four rows back. So I got up and said, would you like to swap with me? I was tempted to sit next to him all journey and pester him, but I didn't.
Oh, that will have gone down very well. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, wait, who was at the airport when you were there?
Maro Itoje and Owen Farrell just ahead of me in putting their bags through security.
Did you say hello?
But little friendly nod there. Yeah. But they are just incredible specimens, just human beings. The shape they're in is frightening when you see these international players up close. And John Eales.
Yes. I wanted to talk about John Eales later.
Chris Patterson had a little bit of a natter with him, Pret-a-Manger.
Oh, I didn't see Chris Patterson.
I think he'd left by the time that we got let into that room where everyone was having a good time, which we're not going to talk about, but there were lots of well-known players having a very good time.
Well,
I think we should give them their privacy.
Well, let's play an interview and then we'll come back to it. Did we play in the main podcast our chat with Rico Ioane?
I don't think we did, no.
We did, didn't we? Richie, Eddie and Bowden.
Yeah, so, world breakthrough player of the year, Rico Ioane.
No big deal. Here's Rico Ioane.
Rico, congratulations on your awards. A pretty wild year it's been for you.
Yeah, that has been a wild year. Pretty disruptive the last couple of months, having a few injuries and a few sicknesses. But to top the year off last night with a win, and obviously to pick this up was hugely rewarding. So yeah,
it must be pinch yourself kind of stuff. The life you live in, you're living the dream.
Yeah, it is. It is really. Young fella travelling around, playing in all the nice stadiums in front of big crowds, and I think can't complain. I think the only thing I'm really missing is my family and my friends and my loved ones. So that's the only sacrifice. Other than that, then yeah, can't really complain.
Rico, speaking of which, one of our listeners was the chap who slept on the mattress in your house during the Lions tour. Yeah. Old Alex.
Yeah, old Alex. Yeah.
What a story. I love it.
Yeah. I remember him. He's a good man. And obviously, if he's ever back in New Zealand, then yeah, we'd obviously keep him too.
Now, Rico, you've done Super Rugby, you've done the Lions, you're finishing your tour. I'm guessing you're entitled to some time off now.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing?
Well, actually, my partner's meeting me over in America. We're going to New York and LA for a bit, just to kick the feet up, do a bit of shopping, and but then after that, just back home.
What sort of things have you got on your itinerary?
So we obviously got Disneyland. She wants to do all the touristy stuff, Statue of Liberty, and
you're the only person.
You just want to do the roller coasters,
that's all.
Rico's literally the only person that goes slower on a roller coaster than in real life.
Can't say much to that, but just looking forward to the trip.
And then to have achieved what you have at a young age, you've mentioned your family; they keep you humble and stuff, but. So much further to go.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to seeing how next year goes. I'm definitely going to work hard in this off season. But then, yeah, I think now it'll be even harder to do what I did this year. Next year, I think even at the rate that everyone's getting better, I think it's definitely going to be a tough year. But I'm definitely excited for the challenge, and yeah, looking forward to kicking on for a better 2018.
Rico, thank you very much for your time.
Do you know there's that thing? That was Rico Ioane on the Egg Chasers podcast from the World Rugby Awards. There's that thing, isn't there? What people say, like when the policemen start looking young. It's like, you sat next to Rico Ioane when the world international superstar rugby players start looking that young.
Mate, it's amazing, isn't it? He is 20 years old. I mean, I was a complete idiot at 20 years old. I couldn't even tie my bloody laces at 20 years old.
but what a frightening talent. He really is.
Do you know,
he really
there is a certain thing, isn't there, about playing in the All Blacks or high-level international rugby. And the players on the field are fearless. You do get the impression, and you don't get the impression from this from the sevens players and the women's players, but you do get it from the big teams that they're almost worried about slipping up. Do you know when you're interviewing them?
Yeah, I know. I do know what you mean, like, yeah.
Be cautious. Don't say anything. Don't be controversial. Don't say you hate the Australians. God, don't say you hate the Australians. You know,
well, I suppose that format, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I feel very lucky and privileged, and it was a real pleasure to be in the company of these great people. But when you just get a little snippet of them, it just makes you think, I'd love to sit and have a coffee and just...
Yes, exactly.
Just gradually get to a conversational level that you get with people. Because I'm sure the stories that they have to tell would be amazing. But, you know, that'll be another day.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. Let's go to another interview now. Go on.
I want to find out. So, other people in the airport, right?
Go on.
Stephen Moore was in there.
Okay, cool.
Tim Visser was in there.
T-Viss was there. So I didn't see him.
You know, I checked in on him to make sure that he's good for my fantasy team. All good.
Oh, thank God for that.
Who else? So it was a good time to do it. Short loads of old legends, Sean Fitzpatrick, and I mentioned John Eales. What was it you wanted to talk about John Eales?
Just how bizarre it was, because we got... I'm going to say it. So after we finished interviewing, we were ushered into the main room and had a few champagnes. And it was just bizarre. This is so cliche to say this. It was like having a dream. And you turn around and you bump into John Eales. Like, John Eales? Huh? And you literally could not move towards the end of the night for people that you're not sure. And this is the worst bit as well. I know some people in that room. I've either interviewed them or I know them like they work for World Rugby. Or, you know, there is some connection, and even more so for you. And I'm sure this has happened to you a load of times. So when you turn around and you catch someone's eye, you have to make an instant split decision. Do you know that person, or do you not, and carry on? And it's really, really tough.
Yeah, and also, just in that sort of scenario, when you sort of turn around and you bump into someone or go the other way, when it's someone who you've seen since you were a kid,
you
can't help but go, hey, how you doing? You're right. Well, how's it going?
Yeah, so the worst one, right, is if you do know someone, but yet you're in I don't know you mode. So you turn around and you've just seen, I don't know, let's just make it up. You've just seen Brian O'Driscoll, who wasn't there. You know you don't know Brian O'Driscoll, but you recognise him and you're, okay, just act cool and you carry on. Then you turn around and you see someone that you do know and you're, oh God, and you carry on moving. And then you realise you've been rude and then you've got to double back like an idiot and say, sorry, I do know you. Hi, how are you? How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. It's a weird, weird thing.
Weird for us. What was really cool about seeing all these rugby legends and rugby players in situ was just the mutual respect and how at ease everyone is with each other.
I wonder how they got that
fraternity of rugby.
Yeah, I wonder how they got that at ease at 12 at night. In a Monte Carlo casino. Anyway, enough of that. Right, let's go with another interview. Let's go with probably my favourite interview of the night. Very, very, Nice lady indeed, Rachel Burford, who won the Merit Award alongside the great Richie McCaw.
Indeed.
So here we go, Rachel Burford.
There we go. Right, we're rolling. Rachel Burford, congratulations on your award.
Thank you very much. Yeah, really honoured and a little bit surreal at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair to say this whole event's pretty surreal. I mean, it's from what it was last year to where it is now, it kind of like the women's game, you know, the growth is just huge.
Yeah, I mean, this venue is absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely stunning set, and World Rugby have done an extremely good job in getting everybody here as well. And yeah, and it does reflect women's rugby at the moment, that it's going from strength to strength. And you know, I'm pretty privileged to be a part of during that time, and to see it happening as well is pretty special.
So, do you set, what goals have you, well, personally and the, collectively the side, set for this upcoming period now?
So we've just come off the back of the autumn series, which we won 3-0, but we weren't from the perfect product at all. We're a new side, we've got a lot of new talent coming through, really exciting and good talent, but now all our focus goes towards Six Nations and retaining that title, and we know how hard that's going to be with our usual suspects being the toughest games.
And of the senior side, I suppose probably the way you described your autumn series is probably similar to England. Job done, but plenty to do. How do you think they're doing?
Yeah, I think the men, they're going from strength to strength, and it's inspiring to see and to share that culture with them is really, really good. But they'll be on the same page as us. It's one job's done and then you move on to the next. You don't stay in that bubble, and you just keep pushing forward and keep trying to get better.
Go on, Jay.
So, now, you're one of the handful of individuals in the world that knows what it's like to play in a World Cup final. Tell me a little bit about the experience, and particularly the build-up. How's that feel?
Well, we try and manage the build-up as the same as any other game, because you don't kind of want to get too emotional or too wrapped up in it all. But, you know, at the same time, you need to take it all in. It is such a special achievement to get to that point. You know, you've got to beat some incredible teams to get to that point. I always remember, you know, running out of those occasions and literally smiling and looking around the stadium, because you've got to soak it in. You've got to appreciate your achievement. And then as soon as the anthem start, you know, you can feel the sort of hairs on the back of your neck stick up, and all you want to do is get out there and play the best that you can, and that's kind of all you start to think is about. It just becomes another game. You don't have World Cup final going around in your head, but you know that it's a critical one to win.
Now, not to get too micro about the whole thing, but I always like to know, in dressing rooms, who are the talkers? Are you one of them?
Every now and then I might chip in, but we've got a few players, you know, that are real leaders within our side. You know, Katie Daly McLean is one of those, and she's really prolific in that. yeah, she's a real strong leader, and people listen to her. And, you know, Sarah Hunter, our captain at the moment. We've got Danielle Waterman. There's a lot of senior sides. Rochelle Clark, I mean, she's got 131 caps. I think she knows what she's talking about. So, yeah, we've got a real strong group of strong leaders. But at the same time, we've got young talent like a Sarah Byrne, and when she says something, people listen. And it's small talk, and it's information that people need during that little time, and sometimes it's just a little in somebody's ear that can help, or it's actually addressed to the whole group.
Do you have a character that headbutts the walls?
Probably Marley Packer. She's not headbutting the balls. She's normally being sick in the bathroom just before the game, getting her nerves out of the way.
I actually hate players that do that, you know. I really do.
I love you doing.
They always make it the loudest retching in the world as well. It's not like a quiet bit, is it?
They've got to infringe on your warm up. Otherwise, what's the point?
True.
And as for the night tonight, have you? I don't know how you play it when you're an international player, like you say, World Cup finals, and you're winning awards tonight. It must be tempting though when Richie McCaw walks past to go, "Can I have a selfie, Richie?"
Yeah, well, at the moment I'm sitting next to him tonight, and it's a bit like, what is going on? Like you said, this whole night is surreal, and it is. To be amongst some, like, this whole room is full of incredible people that are involved in the sport that we all love, but to be next to one of the greatest people that I've always looked up to, I do want to ask him for a selfie, but I'm going to play it cool.
Yeah, oh, come on, don't forget that. He's all good. Well, listen, Rachel, well done on your awards. Good luck in the championship coming up ahead, and thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
There we go. Right, so a little bit awkward that one, because as Rachel sat down, I had on my phone Rachel Burford, right? As in, it looked like I was searching for Rachel Burford to do a Google search, which I wasn't.
Just a little bit of background, not wanting to, just in case the name isn't completely familiar. to a listener perhaps, 72 England caps since 2006.
Yes.
Played both codes in World Cups, played in World Cup finals, as you heard in the interview. So anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah. So as she sat down, it looked as if I was Googling her because I didn't know who she was. What I was actually doing is putting her name in to Facebook Live. So it came up as Rachel Burford when we went live and did the interview. And then I had to kind of do this thing, you know, when you got a backtrack. No, I wasn't Googling you. I was Facebook. I was looking you up on Facebook, which is even worse. I wasn't looking her up on Facebook. What I meant to say is I was trying to put her name onto Facebook Live. But there we go. That's how you embarrass yourself in front of a...
I wish I had Googled her now. I could have... we were both born in the same hospital down in Kent.
You guys should hang out more.
Yeah, we should hang out. That's, you know, with background like that. Anyway, she was thoroughly lovely.
Yes, completely agreed. And hopefully she'll be on the Rugby Dungeon very, very soon. I'm looking forward to that one. Let's have a look. What else do we have left in our locker here, Tim?
We have one of the finest sevens athletes ever.
Oh, we've got KT. I was going to leave him right until the end.
Okay, all right. Carlton Arna to look forward to. He was a character.
Yeah, awesome.
He's an example of when you retire and you don't care about being media trained, you can say what the hell you want.
Yeah, he's a good bloke. He's a real good bloke, actually. I suspect you'll be hearing more of him on our podcast soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Last one. Who was the most impressive person that you shook hands with, Tim?
Most impressive person that I shook hands with?
Mm-hmm.
By what measure?
Just impressive, just awe-inspiringly impressive.
Well, Richie McCaw.
Richie McCaw for you? That was cool. I've got to say, nothing is quite like shaking the hand of Jamie Cudmore and having a chat. Nothing.
Oh, yeah, I didn't bump into him.
You'd know if you bumped into Jamie Cudmore.
Yeah.
So I introduced myself. Thankfully, he remembered, so it wasn't that humiliating. And
listen. I'm a little bit conscious, Jay, that we're going to sound like absolute bellends.
Do you know what? Good.
If it sounds like name dropping, that is not the intention.
No, it is.
We're trying to share. I'm not trying to name drop. I am trying to paint a little picture of an experience from the perspective of
two fans
who. We were in this room with these heroes, and that's the perspective I'm coming from. I don't want to sound like we did this. It's not the point. We're actually trying to share.
Well,
this experience.
I did do this, and call it sharing if you want. Call it bragging if you want. I'm not that bothered. as I shook Jamie Cudmore's hand, did the what's the word for it? Like the mutual you slap someone's arm at the same time. My word. He is such an enormous man. It is hard to quantify using standard measures of physics.
See, I'm just imagining it's that scene out of Predator. Dylan, you son of a bitch. That bit.
Yeah. But only one of the guys was massive. Me.
So, wow. What a guy.
Yeah.
How did I miss him? I was out grabbing all the kit from the media room, And I thought you were right behind me. And then about 10 minutes later, you came out going, oh, where were you? Jamie Cudmore.
Jamie Cudmore. Said hello to Jamie Cudmore. It was amazing. Totally amazing. Yeah, a little bit starstruck about Jamie Cudmore. As I should be. Absolutely.
Yeah, quite right. Quite right.
All right, well, I think people have heard enough about us chat on about the Rugby Awards. Shall we leave them with Carl Tamana? And after Carl Tamana, that'll be it. That is your lot until...
Carl Tanana.
What? Tanana. Did I call him Tamana?
Tanana. Not like Tamana Harrison. No, it's Carl Tanana. And Carl Tanana is a... he played Super Rugby, played for the Highlanders a few times before, and very quickly, sevens became his game. He is a big, big boy, 6 foot four, he was
and even taller with his hair.
Sorry?
And even taller with his hair.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But he is one of the most complete sevens athletes ever. New Zealand captain, Commonwealth Games champion, legend of the game of sevens. And so, again, with the fact that sevens has had a massive year or so with the Olympics, it's got the Commonwealth Games coming up over the next year, the World Cup in San Francisco, and the new Seven Series starting in a week or two. It was brilliant. We had quite an extended chat with Carl Tanana, who just finished his duties interviewing some of these players himself. And then he cracked open a Heineken and came and sat down with us.
Yeah, this is when we did have a drink. So this is right at the end. And yeah, it's good. Right, this will be the last interview here. So remember, we are having another podcast this week to talk about the predictions for the Premiership and talk about the results from last week's Premiership. And also it's
going to act as kind of a therapeutic process for Phil. We're going to try and counsel him as well and get him through, get him back on his feet.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of reasons for this podcast is so we can get all of the Rugby Awards out of our system so we don't have to bang on about it every other time ad nauseum for all of our fans to hear. In fact, we'll just save that for when you meet us in person.
Let's do that.
So you can find us on Acast, you can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, do all those things, on Apple Podcasts too, of course. But here is our last interview with Carl Tanana. I will see you, and so will Tim, probably tomorrow.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Ooh, delicious.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We rolling? We're rolling.
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah, we are. There
you are. Carl Tanana, welcome to the Egg Chasers podcast. Is it the end or the start of the night now?
Well, to be fair, we started a long time ago, and I know I've been working, but it sort of hasn't, you know, finished. just tell me, what's the theory behind the name?
Is Egg Chasers not a word? Does that not...
Oh, no, I like it. I just want to know where it come from. Oh, yeah, it's cool. I've seen you blokes, but I just want to know where the Egg Chasers come from.
I think it's like the kind of derogatory term footballers use, isn't it, for rugby players?
That's not something they get called in egg New
chasers.
Zealand, then?
Egg Chasers,
no. Well, no, because it's the main sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You wouldn't be called an Egg Chaser because...
Everyone's an Egg Chaser.
Yeah, yeah. Probably called footballers marble chasers.
So that's where that comes from. Yeah, it's something that... soccer players, footballers use to give us a bit of steam.
Well, that's steam. Yeah, steam, you know. I mean, you put them in our situation, I think it'd be totally different.
Yeah.
I reckon we'd dominate them. Let's be honest.
Yeah, completely.
We should be chasing the eggs after we play a game of football.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll tell you what. we got a big, massive year ahead, which is going to have that huge moment in July in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the World Series starting up next week, obviously. I mean, we've got the Commonwealth Games and Gold Coast, and then we ended all up with the World Cup in San Francisco, you know. So, I mean, Sevens, I think, and we've seen tonight, like, the amount of players who've been nominated for awards, won awards, have been part of Sevens, gone on to 15s and vice versa and come back. I mean, I just think the Sevens has got so much to be able to transition over.
Yeah, you know, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's like, as 15s kind of grows bigger and bigger and bigger, in terms of the stature of the players and the physicality, it's almost like an outlet for players who... that bit more, a bit quicker, that bit more skillful. You know, you can see the two games almost diverging now.
Yeah, and I know sevens are going to, you know, being an Olympic sport, it is diverging, and I mean, it's going to become a specialist sport for some people. I mean, a guy like Perry Baker won sevens player of the year. I mean, he's a prime example. You chuck him in a 15-a-side team, probably not so great. Chuck him in a sevens side, he's the best player in the world. Mm. Rico Ioane, I mean, that guy Luna's trade in sevens, you know, was outstanding there, comes over, plays for the All Blacks, and now he's, you know, the breakout player of the year and nominated for World Player of the Year for the men's side, you know. So, I mean, transferable skills, and I know it's horses for courses, and there's some freaks like Reeks that's going to be good regardless, you know. But, I mean, the amount of guys, Bodie Barrett, another guy's doubled up World 15-a-side Player of the Year. He actually played sevens and had a ground in there as well before he went on to the 15s and the All Blacks, you know. So, I mean, it's just it's really cool to see, you know. And
I think you freaks like Reeks. I think that's catchy.
Like, there we go. Freak like Reeks.
There we go. Yeah. There'll be people wearing t-shirts with that. You need to get
that. I reckon we copyright that.
Yeah,
and start.
Done.
Yeah.
Done. Right, profit share.
I think it shows, as you say, it's quite difficult for a lot of players to transition from one code, from one form of the game to the other. And it just shows, if you're using the word freak, Leonie Nakarawa is an absolute freak of a human being.
Mate, I mean, aren't all Fijians? I'll be honest with you. I never met a slow one yet when they play in the forwards or in the backs. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy, you know. Like, I love watching him play. You know, like, and they just sort of have that sort of freedom where they can have that sort of balance where they can just produce something from nothing. You know what I mean? And I know back where they're from in Fiji, like that's just their natural game. But I think when they get in a situation with teams that give them a little bit of structure as well, that's when they really go over the top and really become world class, you know.
Just moving away from like sevens and rugby, just tell me about your day to day, because it's a weird position that you find yourself in here.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you know, like finished playing football and rugby,
yeah.
And then you know, like got into the TV stuff and worked really hard, and then got on the World Rugby Buzz, and then next minute I get an email saying you want to come to Monaco and do a rugby awards. I mean, like, pretty tough gig, but honestly I thought, okay, I'll do it, otherwise I'll be in probably a place like Invercargill in the South Island of New Zealand. You know, and just like I had a dream. Like, when I come here, I thought, right, I knew the prince was going to be here, I knew the princess was going to be here, and I thought, right, my whole goal is just to get a selfie with the princess.
Have you done it?
Honestly, without a word of a lie, like I was in the pool area the other day, 2 days ago, and I was sunbathing, and and I saw this person swimming, gliding through the water. I said, oh, she's a good swimmer. And I didn't realise afterwards that it was the princess, because she was an Olympic swimmer, yeah, for South Africa.
Was she?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yes. And I thought, wow, far out. And then I was dark, because I would have chased her and done a bomb and stopped there and had a selfie. But then I went to the toilet and come out, and I was just sort of waiting there talking to someone, and all the bodyguards come through. And I said, oh, I'm just going to get a selfie, this is my moment. And then she looked up and she goes, oh, you were at the pool the other day. And I said, oh, mate, I'm in there. So I said, oh, sorry, princess, it's all right if I have a photo. She's like, so accommodating, come up. Yeah.
Had a photo. Pretty cool.
I actually think she liked me.
How about it, Carl? How about it?
She goes, you were a rugby player. I said, yes, I am.
This is a crazy place, isn't it?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you can come to a place like this, you run into royalty, and you can have a photo with them. I mean, you walk down the road, there's Porsches, there's Lamborghinis, there's, you know, there's everything, there's houses driving past that I can't afford. It's just so insane. You just got to shake your head and go, mate, this is crazy. And you know what? The worst thing is, I have to put an invoice in.
not the worst part.
the players are becoming absolute superstars now, but what always impresses me, it's not just New Zealand, but the young New Zealand guys like Bowden Barrett and Rika Iwani, the award winners tonight, you couldn't find more humble.
They are, actually, aren't they? That
really
is,
are.
I mock them mercilessly for being humble and all of the culture stuff. It is nonsense. But when you meet them, they are. They're just normal, nice, very humble guys.
Yeah. I'll chuck Mari Toje in there as well. You know what I mean? That bloke.
Yeah.
I met him this year, first time over the Lions tour. And, man, honestly, I actually think, I thought he was hard done by. I thought he was my pick to get the Player of the Year, because I know he was good in the England jersey, but he went in that Lions tour, missed out on the first test, come in the second test and changed the game.
Dominating.
I think that, yeah, you know. And the bloke in the middle of the park who can do that for a young bloke, breakthrough player of the last year, as you say, humble, but just I heard he got the pip because he didn't start the first test, went out to the coaches, approved during the week against the Maldives, I want to start the second test, got the second test, changed the tour, I think, personally, and then the third test could have gone either way, ended up a draw, but it easily could have gone either way, you know. So, I mean, like you say, these young blokes coming through, and I think it's a thread like Eddie Jones and Steve Hansen really accentuate with their size. You know, like, express yourself, be awesome on the field. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you've got to be humble and realise, you know, there's a lot of hard work going into it. And I think that's something that both Steve and Eddie really, really push. And I think that's great, you know.
Yeah, well, it works for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I will give the props to the English team, you know. I mean, they got nominated for the Team of the Year this year, but, you know, I think the way they've sort of approached it, you know, and what Eddie's instilled in them, I mean, really has changed. I mean, he's given them a self-belief, you know, and I think they're not that far away. You know, I think that they basically had the same team that, you know, previously before Eddie got there, you know, and they sort of didn't sort of get over the top, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, it's interesting, just someone comes in and changes their mindset, you know, be a bit more humble but still work hard and do those sort of things.
Where do you view sevens professionalism compared to 15s now?
To be honest, I think, well, I can talk from New Zealand point of view. Both of them are very, very, very tough. Now, I think they're very much on the same level. You know, I think the All Blacks have got a lot of, like, I think, you know, like when I was playing, we did a lot of stuff and outside of football and talking about better blokes, better team and all that sort of carry on. And I think Graham Henry sort of really took a leaf out of that and used Gordon Titchens to bring that in, and Shag, Steve Hansen, has brought that on as well, you know. And I think that's something that we probably sort of identified a little while ago, that, you know, like, you can't be too rugby focused. I mean, in previous All Black teams you probably were, and we got the arrogance, and it got too one-sided, if you know what I mean, and people started hating us. You know, and I don't think that was a good thing. So they sort of evened it up, and I think that's a big thing. When the All Blacks went to the World Cup in England, straight away they got off the plane, went to the media, went to the crowds, and tried to win them over. And I think the English media were very, 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 very accommodating to the New Zealand team.
I think they were starstruck. Yeah. To be fair.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'll give you, and I will say this again for Gats, when he came to the Lions, he did the exact same thing. Mm. Like, he took that Lions team, they went and did all the multi-porphyries and really engaged in the media and the fans, and they won them over. Like, that Lions tour was absolutely brilliant. The way New Zealand was really warm to the Lions supporters. I mean, it was brilliant because, I mean, New Zealand supporters are notoriously arrogant, even I'll admit that. And after the first test, the whole of New Zealand said, look, they're actually really good people. This is a really good team. You've got to give them a respect.
Yeah. Do you know, I think what you're talking about there with the Lions, do you know where I think a lot of that comes from? It's leadership of Sam Warburton. It's like being led by, you know, some sort of statesman.
Yeah. And then there was a lot of contention there with him getting the captaincy, you know,
hindsight,
for the tour.
It seems like genius.
Yeah, you know, but I think that's the thing Gats sort of realised, you know what I mean? Because he'd been on the Lions tour before. You know, he knew how harsh it was. You know, so I think the way Gats went about it, and he got so much stick. I know he got stick in New Zealand because he was a New Zealander, you know. And New Zealanders knew he was good. So that's why they tried to unsettle him, you know. And to his credit, like, he took it. He took it on the chin. He took some personal stuff.
Well, he gets stick in the UK too.
Yeah.
I think people forget he's, what, a top three coach of all time now?
Yeah.
You know, when you stack up all the things that he's won, it's hard to disagree with that.
In fact, coaches is probably New Zealand's biggest export product, isn't it? Lamb and rugby coaches.
Lamb, butter, milk. Yeah. It's cheaper in the UK than it is back at home, I'll tell you what. But
is it?
Yeah, hard out. But I how's this? Like, I'll talk about Joe Smith, Irish coach. He was actually my teacher in my intermediate.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he was my teacher at Monreal Intermediate in Palmerston North, and now he's the Irish coach. And
so do you give him credit for how you played your rugby, or did he hold you back?
Mate, he put me in detention a lot, so I don't know if that's holding back or disciplining.
What for? Can you remember a time something you did?
I'm not doing homework. I hate homework. Yeah. But honestly, like, Smithy, he's a really astute bloke, and I can see why he's been so successful, you know. And he's a guy that we'll give him a stick, but he was a teacher that I really loved, you know, and he really, really brought the best out of you. I think that's been the secret, and all the good coaches sort of seem to have a teaching background at some stage, you know what I mean?
Did you say that he's fairly strict?
Yeah, no, he was strict back in the day, yeah. I don't know, I mean, I don't know what he's like now, I'm not sure, but...
No, it's just interesting, because I think that's a side of rugby that people don't really appreciate enough, which is, like, the structure and, the discipline it gives kids. And sometimes it's actually that strictness which is of incredible importance.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of rugby. I mean, it's not about yourself. You know, you got to sacrifice. I think that's the thing I try to project when I go talk to kids and what I found successful throughout my career. And I think a lot of other people would say that as well. You know, I mean, To be able to go into an environment and sometimes you're not as good as someone and you try to strive better, or maybe you're better than someone, try to help them to get up, and all those team ethos sort of things. And I think that's where the All Blacks have, what we spoke about before, built their foundations on, you know. And I think that's the beauty of rugby, you know.
Carl, I've noticed one worrying trend in rugby union. So, you know, there's so many positive things, but some really bad haircuts.
So you're looking at me when you say that?
No, certainly not.
Well, name someone so we can diss them.
Can we talk about Aaron Smith?
Aaron Smith, come on.
Mate.
Rate it.
Yeah, no, what, you know what? He's copying Adi Savi, and Adi's got a 45-degree angle lean. He's got a leaning tower of pizza going on. What's going on?
For some reason, it works for Adi Savi. I don't know why. Yeah. It doesn't work for Aaron Smith.
No, but Artie's, he's a free spirit, you know that. You know, he's into his dancing, he does it on social media. But, I mean, mate, no good. Absolutely no good.
I think that's the big takeaway. So next time you're back in New Zealand, next time you catch up with him, just have a little word, yeah?
Mate, we'll send the emails, we'll tell him, we'll tell the coach. I mean, yeah. Ikiti Yohan.
Let's go.
Yeah, well, Ikiti Yohan, he's another one. He's got a shocker of a dude. I mean, honestly. And Shag, Steve had told him, like, cut your hair, and he's still rolling around with it. I mean,
it doesn't strike me as very humble.
No.
Steve Hansen said to him about his Barnet.
Yeah, he said, mate, cut it off. It's ridiculous. And I saw Akita at one game in New Zealand, and he goes, he even said, like, mate, Shag told me to cut it. And I said, why don't you cut it? Mate, you've got to have some gang to have a do. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be good.
It's like back in the days when the coloured boots started. If you were a forward and you dared to wear coloured boots, you had to be really good.
Exactly. And his back's always black, because we never got in, especially wingers, no rucks, and then you got black boots, no one can see you know. You like this, if you've got coloured boots, you can see how little you're doing.
Exactly. Well, I find it's weird now, right, that that players don't have white boots. I actually feel that the black boot is almost like a rarity. Like, you see someone with black boots now, it looks like they're wearing Doc Martens.
You know what
we're doing? You know, what's going on here?
No, particularly when the All Blacks had those matching matte black boots, it looked like they were wearing school shoes.
Yeah, it was all in black, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, it was like, you're right. It's like, we called them nomads back in the day, and they had these thick soles, and like you say, it's like going to school, you need as a backpack and be in detention with me and Joe Smith.
Well, listen, I think we've got to go and put the world to rights.
I've got one last question.
Yeah,
right.
Go on.
Don't want to take it off onto too serious a tangent, but
you're going to.
I'm going to.
Do it.
And feel free not to answer. Autobots or Decepticons?
You've seen the earrings, haven't you?
Yeah.
Man, Decepticon, Megatron.
Oh, God, I haven't seen the earrings. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Megatron. And I love a Transformer. Sorry, I do. I'm a Transformer kid. And I was Optimus Prime boy for years. But then I sort of, when I grew up, like, all the cool Transformers are Decepticons.
Do you know what?
They can all fly and they all, you know.
Exactly the same with WWE. All the cool guys are heels.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, Megatron, he's the man. Like, I've tried to change my name to Megatron. The wife said, you're a twat.
There was an American football. There's an American football called
Megatron. Yeah, that's what I got on. Yeah, playing for the Lions.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I copied him.
We have taken some wonderful tangents, Carlton Anna. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
top man. We need to go find Steve Hansen and talk about that haircut.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.